Hello, everybody. This is Ewan. I'm awfully sorry to say that my beautiful tube mic didn't survive the journey down to London and back. And unfortunately, I didn't find out until Thursday night when I had a ripping hum on the stuff. So I've done the big show and I've posted it, as you can hear. But if you're into your audio quality, then please be aware that there's a bit of a hum on my mic throughout the whole thing. And it could be a bit annoying. I do apologise. I've fixed it by using another mic till now. And the Mac show and the photo show haven't got it, but I do apologise. See you all clean and tidy next week, I do promise. Till then, enjoy the big show. Welcome to Bagel Tech Big, the midweek show, the bit that's really lost its identity in time. What are we going to call this show now? Is it midweek? Is it weekend? Is it just...
For me, it's Thursday, Thursday and
the
a
best
half.
Day of the week show.
It's Thursday and a half.
It's still a big show, isn't it?
I prefer that. I think, welcome to the Bagel Tech Big Show, the Thursday and a half show.
Yeah.
It's not a trough, it's a peak. It's coming towards the end of the week. Bagel Tech Cheese is in the chat room, apparently. I've got no why cheese is there, but never mind. The week in technology. Joining me, I've got the wonderful dulcet group that that make up the panel that is going to entertain you this evening. And unfortunately, my mouse has hopped onto my other computer. There we go. Sorted. Joining me, top left, we've got James Hart. Hello.
Good evening, Mr. Ewan Rankin. How are you? I got there first.
I'm all right, mate. What's been happening in James' world?
I've been getting progressively damper over the course of the week.
It's not been good.
And I've resisted so far buying a raincoat because I don't want to carry one around with me, but I think I'm going to have to get one.
That's the problem, you see. If you don't buy a raincoat because you're worried about the extra weight, when you're wet, you weigh about four times the weight anyway, don't you? So.
And you're hot and, oh no, it's horrible. It reminds me of an E17 video, and I don't know why.
I am sitting looking at the video wall at the minute, and it looks luscious.
That's I was just going to say, how are we all HD now? It's like, I think everyone's in, if they're not each in HD, we're at least seeing the whole image is in like 720p.
It's the new version of Desktop Presenter from Wirecast.
Oh. That
is impressive.
Oh, that is good.
How good is that? Well done, that's Wirecast. Great. Huzzah. Next month, we've got another copy of Wiretest to give away, so...
And you too could do this.
Is this update public? Is it public yet?
This is the 4.1 update, yep. I don't think it's in beta or...
I guess I need to go look for that.
Yeah, Desktop Presenter, there's a new version of Desktop Presenter out that does custom sizing as well, which it didn't do before. It's really good. There you go, Beth.
It looks great.
It looks stunning. It looks
I'm really going to have to do something about the shelves behind me now.
Well, that was the thing. There's a hairy bloke on the TV over here, Eric, called Richard Keys. And the problem that he had when they went to HD on Sky Television was that the bosses had to ask him to shave his knuckles because all the hairs were standing out so much on the screen that just wasn't really appropriate. So,
oh, wow. Knuckle hair.
Just wait until wait until we get... a better machine here and we're doing video. Oh, you're all going to look like this all the time on iTunes. Oh, mate. There's the incentive. Next to him, a newbie.
Hello.
He's not new to the network because he did the Elmug show with us, but we thought we'd ask him on and talk about general tech as well. Steve Neighbour, how's it going, mate?
Hello, sir. How are you?
What's your job title at the London Mac User Group? You're not chairman, are you?
Oh, I do.
Because you introduced me to
events management and I organise the fun stuff as far as I see it.
You're catering.
Yes. I make sandwiches.
Which is why there's profuse amounts of beer at Elmug events.
There was a good amount of beer passed on Monday. Yeah,
it was a good night. I had a bit of a tumultuous journey down there and a hell of a jaunt across London with a big suitcase full of audio equipment. But we got there in the end. Huzzah.
Greatly appreciate it. Great night. Mate. Thank you very much to all those people who turned up and made it even better as well. Thank you.
Next to, or below him, we've got Sarah. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right. You had a rough week, didn't you, Monday?
That's
why you didn't come to Elmug, but...
Yes, it wasn't a good start. Day back to the week, and today's been even worse.
So. Oh, okay, I was going to say, has it got better, but...
Well, it was all right, but today was... I got some... Well, no, let's not go there.
Moving on.
I'm hoping tomorrow's going to be a lot better, yeah.
Excellent. James is now tidying his shelves because it spurred him into action. Oh, when he's dropping it all, never mind.
Sod it.
And last but by no means least, from the west coast of America, where is it, sunny?
It's not just sunny, it's about 110 degrees. It feels
It's the humidity that kills you, though. with the wonderful light on his back, it's Mr. Eric Larrigan. Hello, mate.
There's the backlight.
There's the backlight. Turn around, show me that backlight.
there it is. Hey, guys.
How was tech talk back this evening?
It was decent.
Oh, right. Okay. So there's no horror stories, no revolts in the chat room, no
non-callers. No. Got a lot of good calls. It was decent, solid show.
What was the big topic of discussion?
I don't know. It was lying, I guess.
I wasn't listening. We're not going to do the week in tech so far. It's been a bit of an Apple week, to be honest, and I don't really want to do too much on Apple because we've got Apple tomorrow with the Mac show. But we had the University of Birmingham managed to come out with antibacterial stainless steel, which is a real good thing. We had Sprint had a huge event out in the US that I guess Eric. Is everyone excited out there? Because we're not excited out here. And I've got to say, the picture of Dan Hess really put me off because he really looked like Mr. Bean for the picture that was on Engadget. Was the Sprint thing a big deal or not a big deal?
Ooh, I've never even heard of it.
Okay, moving on.
It's not a big deal.
No, Sprint had a big old thing about 4G
full
plans.
Screen.
Yeah, there you go.
Fancy,
look.
Fancy. That's great.
Oh, easily pleased.
I'll have to start sending you anamorphic video. So what's the Sprint thing?
They had a big announcement about their 4G plans going forwards and some new handsets and things like that. So, it doesn't apply to the UK, so I kind of glossed over it a bit. But Dan Hess didn't look like the big CEO. He looked like Mr. Bean. There was also a bit on Google Plus because they got the iPhone application. Apple had its earnings call and it launched Lion and did all the other stuff that we know about. And that's pretty much it. Now, there was a few other things that kicked off. I thought the first conversation we could perhaps talk about is data charges. Because, I mean, data roaming is something that's global, isn't it? I presume, Eric, that your cell providers pound you remorselessly over the amount of data that you use when you're out of area with them.
Yeah. In fact, I don't think any of the US carriers have data roaming. I'm pretty sure that AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, and T-Mobile don't allow their users to share anything. Or maybe I'm thinking of just the 3G and now 4G networks, but I'm pretty sure that there is no real data roaming. And of course, international plans when you leave the country are astronomical.
Well, that's the point. That's what data roaming here in the UK is. It's when you go abroad and you take your cell phone with you and you haven't switched data roaming plans to off.
Do you have that issue in the UK where you have just dead spots with certain providers, or like you have very spotty 3G coverage with one or the other provider?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do. Even if you're in the centre of London. You can be in an area where you have good Vodafone signal, but poor signal from O2. We get that.
Okay. Yeah, because here the big issue is, I mean, whether you're on AT&T or Verizon, even the big ones, you just look at the map and there's just gigantic areas with little or no coverage. And so if you're out of the data range of your phone company, you can get onto the voice network with no trouble and roam totally free. They don't charge extra for that, but the data, they won't even let you get on. So that happens a lot, actually.
Well, we've got a lot of networks over here that kind of have reciprocal arrangements. So if you're talking, I mean, there was a situation going back probably 12 years ago, 15 years ago, where I did a lot of work for one of the cell providers then at the time, which was 1-to-1. And they would put up their own masts. So you get a call from a guy who'd ride around in the car, look at the signal strength, and then triangulate it and say, I want a mast here. And they'd argue over the fact that, here was actually the middle of a lake or something and it wouldn't work. But they put up their own masts. A lot more now, what you've got is one of them pays for the mast to go up and then they offset the charge by arranging to have other hardware that hangs off it that sits the other providers. And also you'll find that things like Three Network over here, which does a lot with iPhone now, they've got an agreement with O2, so when they start to lose coverage on their own network, they piggyback off the O2 network to keep their customers online. And there's no extra charge for that. There's no data roaming in that because that's an agreement that's already been put in place. You tend to get hit when you go cross-border. So you're talking about going to the Republic of Ireland or other European countries, and that's when data roaming charges kick in.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I go to the Republic of Ireland quite a bit, and I've actually just gone out and bought a SIM from Ireland while I'm over there, and it works really, really well. I must admit, when I was over there last week, I was eating it up at a rapid rate because my mum and dad hadn't got their broadband sorted, which is now sorted. Thanks. I sorted that on Friday, so it'll be okay, fine in future. I won't be burning up quite as much. But I was using it at the rate of about €5 a day at one point, which is a bit annoying. It's just,
€5 a day is a lot of money, isn't it? For what amount are we talking in terms of data, Sarah?
Well, because I was using Google Plus, and I had the notification switched on, loads of other stuff. I didn't twig this for a couple of days. I soon switched it off when I realised that that's where all my bandwidth was going.
It's so remarkable how unmobile sort of friendly some websites can be. I mean, you look at your data plan, you can have one front page on a website, loads on your phone, and it's a meg and a half, and you just go, that's a good, that's 1.5% of my month's, my day or whatever it is, allowance.
Well, the big
I know.
Sorry, sir, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, one of the issues we have at work, and we've certainly spent some time looking at, is about compression. To cut down, also it means that obviously pages get rendered a lot quicker, but also it obviously makes it easier for, you know, this sort of thing if you want people to use your website on a regular basis on a mobile.
I mean, the story that really got me thinking about this week was Orange is now heralding the fact and trumpeting the fact that it's offering UK people who roam 30 megabytes prepaid for £3 per day. So for a day, you can have 30 meg and it costs you £3. Now, if you go over that 30 meg, then you start paying at £7 per meg from that point forwards.
Just tell you what I do. I needed to buy a data chip for an iPad. I went on Amazon and they sell these pre-data chips that you can get. So it comes along, just plug it in, and it works.
And for any country.
I paid £12 for 3 months for 3 gig of data.
Which country?
Which company? I think it comes in a plastic bag. Country? You don't ask which company it comes from. It's with Free.
No, which country?
UK.
All right.
Right. So that you get the data anywhere, though, if you're abroad.
Really?
Or UK data only, sorry.
UK data only, right.
I was going to say, I could have done with one of those when I was in the US.
Yeah, I imagine so.
What's the typical charge for roaming over there? So let's say, Eric, that you decided to go and visit family in Canada. Whether you've got more or not, don't worry. What's the kind of charge that you'd be expecting?
You know, I saw a news article just the other day that said that AT&T made a big deal about dropping their fees for like the first time in years. And it's like, it's like a couple of dollars a megabyte. I mean, it's insane. It's really, really outrageously high. It's like 20 times more expensive than their regular domestic monthly plan.
Yeah, I mean, that's still cheaper than us, though. I mean, we're talking about $11 per megabyte without being on a prearranged agreement.
Well, this is even with a prearranged agreement. If you go over, if you cross, you know, the country border and you haven't already called AT&T and purchased a month of international service, yeah, I mean, you're paying through the nose. That you're they'll probably charge you many, many dollars per megabyte.
I mean, the problem that you've got perhaps in the States that we haven't got so much here is the fact that we've got the European Union to legislate against this. So one of the directives that come out is that there will be people looking at roaming charges. They're talking about roaming charging capping through the whole of Europe because they're saying it's anti-competitive. You know, you go away from England to Germany and it's going to cost you so much money for your data that, I mean, you know, actually the flight, you could end up coming back with a bill that's bigger than the total flight cost you to get out there and go and talk to you.
They're already doing that, I believe, for texting. They've limited the amount the text costs in Europe.
Mm. So, but in the US, you've got nothing that stimulates or controls you. There's no monopolies or mergers because you're not, you know, it's just if you want to foster trade relations, that's up to you, but it's on an individual basis, whereas we legislate for it across Europe here.
Yeah, it's not just right. That as well. I mean, broadband as well. Is so the way it's regulated in Europe is so much better than the US.
Yeah, and like I said here, roaming, when you say that in the US about data roaming, you're usually talking about whether if you drive down the block, you're suddenly out of data range of your particular carrier, even if it's one of the big four.
And that's still roaming.
Yeah, Oh. And it, and so, what does Sarah just say?
Broadband as well is not regulated well in the US.
Oh, yes. That's what I was going to say, is that here, because the companies have no obligation and therefore don't do any kind of data roaming, one of the things that AT&T is saying to try to justify its purchase of T-Mobile is that this is X number of million more customers that we can provide data service to who couldn't get it before because they just wouldn't agree to roam with them. So it's silly.
James, are you drinking moonshine out of a jam jar there? That's... No, it's a pint glass. It looked like a jam jar. Some horror stories from the chat room. My best bill on O2, because they have no limitation on my data, is £538.
What is that?
For one trip.
I was just looking at the Three website, actually, and they're saying that if you roam in the European Union, for some, I don't know where they got the figure from, but they automatically cut you off after £43.
Oh, that's pretty good. I like that idea.
Some kind of what do you get for that? I don't know.
Yes, too big.
Hey, do you guys think, first of all, over there, what was the response to Lion being such a huge exclusive download that you have to download it? And do you guys think that Apple, by forcing these massive downloads of Final Cut and now the operating system itself, or even when you have, even if you want to reinstall it on the same computer, you have to download it again from their server. Do you think Apple is using their users as sort of early, you know, frontline fodder to throw them into the bandwidth fray and try to get them to complain when they realize how much it's costing them and how slowly they can download something as essential as an operating system upgrade?
I understood that it would be available on a USB stick for extra monies.
Well, but, I think it's
half that and half they have control over the media at that point. A mate of mine who I'm not... An invented friend of mine may theoretically have had a Hackintosh and said, Lion's come out, I wonder if I can upgrade my Hackintosh. And of course, with it only available in the marketplace or the app store, there's no way you can do that.
We have around 650 members or so that are subscribed to the London Mac User Group, and a lot of them were in uproar about the size of the download.
How big is it?
4 gig.
Ooh.
I'm also told that the Apple store was quite busy today because of people going in physically to download it who couldn't do it from their home because they didn't trust their broadband. So,
yeah. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking there's a little bit more of a intentional, almost conspiracy behind Apple's motivation for doing this. You know, they want to become our cloud provider. They want to stream more high definition movies and more music and put everything in the cloud. And do the iPhone backups. They want everything to be there. And they know that they are also, in addition to selling hardware, they are a media company. They sell movies. They sell music. And, you know, one of the biggest problems slowing the adoption of downloadable movies is the download time and the people's slow connections. But the statistics show that almost no one really understands when you're talking the average customer. No one knows how fast their internet connection is. They made the decision a few years ago. They don't check it. They don't download large files. And the ISPs themselves, at least in the United States, your Time Warner, your Comcast, they claim that something like 80% of the customers never use more than a gigabyte a month. And that's why they're trying to clamp down and charge people more if they go over that. That I think it was like a gigabyte or so, or maybe 2 gigs was the proposed initial cap for wireline, not even wireless, but wireline broadband. And I think Apple knows that key to their future is people having big, fat, fast pipes to download lots of content. So I think they want to wake up the people who don't know how fast their dinky little connection is and who don't realize that they're on some kind of 1 or 2 gigabyte cap. And they want to send a shock to the ISPs out there to say, people need lots of bandwidth. They need it today. It's here now.
We've had the same issues over here, Eric, with the disputes between ISPs and the BBC over the use of the BBC iPlayer.
I think the thing that we've got over here is exactly the same problem that you've got in the US, that if you're talking about unlimited comes in inverted commas with most suppliers over here. You'll get some that will say that they are truly unlimited, and I'm on the top package for Virgin, which gets me, at the moment, 50 megabits a second. It's going up to 100 megabits in a couple of weeks, and that is truly unmetered, unlimited bandwidth. I get whatever I want, as much as I want, as whenever I want.
I was having a conversation earlier, though, that, I mean, to be honest with you, the UK... and this was something I mentioned before the show, They've got Netflix in the US. They've got Amazon Prime Instant Video, which is kind of like trying to undercut them at the moment. There is a fairly substantial take up of a replacement to the getting a DVD in the post. And we haven't quite got there in the UK yet for two reasons. One, we still have really poor quality copper cables to people's houses plugged into boxes in the street that when it gets a bit rainy, the boxes go wrong and people lose their bandwidth. And you end up having to go to an Apple store to download a 3.5 gig file because your internet connection simply won't take it. And therefore there hasn't been any uptake. And I think we are a good couple of years behind the US in that. And if the US is starting to sort of balk at the idea of downloading large files, we've got no chance at all.
I don't know if I fully agree with that because iPlayer has done ridiculously well in the UK. BBC iPlayer is a website that you can log on to on the BBC site. And if you're in the UK, you can watch any BBC programme instantly, virtually, for the last 7 days. And that has done really well. But
It's done very well, but it's not a free product, but it's, and the Sky Go thing that that Ewan was talking about before the show as well, which we may cover, is another good example of that. But there's no the delivery of on demand material. I guess yes, it is, in some respects it is. I guess I'm talking myself into a corner because you've also got TV Catch Up who may be getting themselves into trouble with the European court reasonably soon because they're effectively rebroadcasting television channels which have contained copyright material. But there's still no financial model for doing it. It's an addendum to the current broadcast technology. You know, its programs are already on. There's no real business for it yet. For film delivery, for example.
Love Film do very well. They post it. They're trying to
They don't push it down the wires yet.
Yeah.
And I think the uptake, well, from the tech podcasts I've been listening to, the uptake of the likes of Netflix, maybe it's just in the communities I listen to, but has been fairly massive in the States. I don't know. Is that the case, Eric, from your understanding?
Oh, yeah.
And so people automatically expect their internet to be the thing they're getting their stuff downloaded on. And we're not there yet.
I think the one thing that certain people are on in the UK is a limited package, which is ridiculously low for them and also assumes that everyone's torrenting once you get past a gig or something like that. And those people have got to deal with that as they come to it. But in terms of what's available out there, there is an enormous amount of availability of bandwidth. Now, you've got to bear in mind that I'm on 50 megabits a second down and...
Stop showing off.
5 megabits a second. No, I just want to show you. And I'm running 4 video feeds on Skype with audio and myself and pushing myself out to the chat room. And that's live on Sky. That's the quality of it. And that is the PGA Tour live on Sky at the moment.
I have to say that is impressive.
On Sky Go. I mean, that is real-time, high-definition quality. It's using every ounce of the pixels that are on the screen.
So that is over Wi-Fi, Ewan, not using 3G.
And that's over Wi-Fi on my Wi-Fi. Yeah, with everything else that I've still currently got running and pushing out to the chat room.
As Mr. Fox says in the chat room, it is golf.
Well, I can change it if he wants.
I was going to say that that regardless of what the material is, now my thought's gone. Oh, bugger it. Hang on.
What resolution is the BBC iPlayer stuff? Does it go up to HD?
Yeah.
720, 1080, do you know?
It's 720.
Okay, well, that's still pretty... And that's totally free?
Yes.
Yeah.
For anybody who plays there, you don't even need to have a license for the playback stuff. The point I was going to make actually was the fact that actually we can have a conversation, all of us getting supplies, you know, from our internet service providers, for an hour and a half on the internet on a Thursday evening, and we don't get dropout. So actually, maybe I malign the quality of the connections, but we do okay, I think.
I don't think it's the hardware. I think it's the. I don't know. I don't understand why we're not having the big Netflix service like the US do. And
YouTube's still woeful.
Yeah.
There you go, Alex.
How's that?
There's the movie service. Panasonic Viewer in HD. And it's in real time. You know, it's streaming beautifully. If you actually hold this up to the TV while the TV's playing from the Sky box. It's actually about a half a second behind, and that's it. The live
don't
broadcast.
Need to tell you anymore.
Can I hear the phone going in the background with the lawyers?
I haven't shown it all.
So tell me again, because we don't have Sky here. Sky is your cable provider?
Sky is the satellite provider, so actually you get a dish on your house, and that's what you need if you want to take their packages. And they've got five sports, well, there's 35 sports channels, but there's four main ones with them. There's 20 movie channels. We get the best part of about 300, 400 channels.
And so the Sky player that you just showed off for the iPad there, is that, do you know whether that's going over the open internet, or is that like a direct connection to one of their... private servers?
It's open internet. I mean, it's basically you register the device using your own browser on your home computer, and then whichever device you then start streaming from gets registered being the next device. Tomorrow, while I'm sitting doing all the shows, this will be sat over here with the cricket on a stand. I will be watching it. I mean, the thing is unrivaled. It really is truly, truly awesome. And if the BBC, I mean, I've watched BBC full screen. I watched the Grand Prix last week on the iPad on my 3G dongle. Went to the BBC website, just hit the full screen button, and it worked. I mean, laptop, sorry. And it worked really, really well. It doesn't work on the iPad because it's flash. But that's Sky, and it's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. It uses Silverlight.
Well, can I just ask the chat room to put in what you're watching your films on at the moment, whether you're watching it on a DVD through the post or downloads or direct.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to do a survey, actually.
Yeah, just go for it.
How do you get your kicks, kids?
What's the pricing like? I mean, Netflix has just put its prices up, you said, James?
Yes, that's right. From what I understand, it's gone from, let me get this right, $10 for both... postage for a posted DVD, and I don't know whether it's unlimited streaming or a certain number of streams. They've split it out, so it's $8 for the movie if you want to order it through the post, or $8 for the movie streamed, and you have to pay both if you want both, because they're just trying to discourage people, I think, from sort of mixing and matching. And I imagine they want to move people away from getting the stuff stuck in the post, because they don't want warehouses of DVDs,
right?
And their costs for the streaming licenses continue to go up. There was some interview or some press outlet talked to the Netflix CEO recently, and his response when asked about the escalating cost of these licenses, because every time they're up for renewal, the companies negotiate higher and higher costs because they keep streaming to more and more people as the service grows. And his response was, we're just going to keep paying. He's like, we're prepared that it's going to go up and up and up, and we're just going to keep paying, because he knows that that's the future. So it may be preemptively to try to cover the cost of genuinely escalating streaming costs.
He's being quite clever, really, because he's already started climbing the ladder, and therefore he has to deal with the content providers. Anybody else who wants to get in is going to have to pay a competitive price. And actually, the content providers call all the shots, really.
Yeah.
I mean, what in the States, what competition is there for Netflix, Eric?
Well, there's Amazon, Amazon Instant, or Amazon Prime Instant, I think they call it, because you have to pay for the Prime, which is primarily a free shipping service, $80 for the year. And then they just signed a deal with, I think it was CBS. They now have they added another provider to their library of on-demand stuff. So they're really trying to compete with Netflix. I don't think there's any really popular streaming thing like that, except, I mean, there's on-demand stuff like iTunes, but I think Netflix pretty much has that market cornered at the moment.
How does Amazon get onto your TV? Is there a little box that you buy as well? Or?
They are on a few set-top boxes. I don't know if the streaming and the specifically the Prime streaming is part of that. I don't remember. They've had Amazon Unboxed for a while, where you could play a number of set-top boxes, could play the media that you purchase for like $2, $3, that kind of thing. The streaming stuff, I don't know. But there are a number of boxes that do support Amazon in some way, but far more have Netflix.
Well, Google Television is a good example of one which failed, because they couldn't negotiate the contents from the studios.
Has Google TV failed?
Where is Google TV?
Well, I agree, but I think you might find that Eric Schmidt would disagree that it's failed just yet.
It's a hobby. It's like what Apple says. It's a hobby.
It's a hobby. It's a work in progress.
It's all in the licensing. I mean, Apple would have loved to have been selling you all your movies and music directly over Apple TVs, but you know, movies and TV shows, I should say, and better than Blockbuster, better than Netflix. But I'm sure it's just a licensing issue that the movie and TV companies, they cling to those rights with dear life.
I think one of the things that you've got with the problem with for the streaming licenses, as you say, there is the price. Because if it starts to get too much, people will just go back to torrenting, and they don't care. You know, if people feel that they're getting value for money, they will buy it in bucket loads. But if people think that they're getting ripped off, they will be merciless in their rats leaving the sinking ship. I think if you look at the music industry as well, you look at Spotify and those kind of things. You're talking about $80 to $120 for Spotify for the US, when you've got iTunes Match coming along in a few weeks at $25. You know, if people think that they're getting ripped off, they'll just start torrenting again.
Absolutely. I'm just having a quick look at the chat room to find out what people do, and mostly it's hardware media. It's DVDs, occasional Xbox, DVDs, Blu-rays, buy the odd movies, Apple TV for Steve. I watch movies on TV cable, which of course only gives you the options that are available at a given time. Recording stuff off the telly, satellite TV with movies. So basically, there's nothing coming over the internet at the moment, I don't think. Certainly nothing streaming, because literally there isn't anything available. Alex raised a good point. Sorry, just very quickly. Alex raised a good point that now Sky have done that, Virgin Media always try and do one better. So it's maybe worth waiting to find out what they do.
Well, I can say, and I'm not authorised by Virgin Media to say this in the slightest, but I shared the train a couple of weeks back when I went down to London with someone from Virgin Media, and they said there will be something coming along very big, very soon in Virgin Media.
Ooh.
So there you go.
Exciting.
It's not an exclusive because I haven't got a clue what it is, but
you overheard a telephone conversation.
For those of you on audio, I'll link. I just winked. Let's do a quick straw poll here then. What's the films that we watch generally? James?
I borrow DVDs off my dad. That's what he goes, watch these things. And it'll be like Falling Down. And he likes his war films. And I just go, all right then. Or Harry Potter, he's got the Harry Potter. So basically, it's friends and family lend DVD. We buy a set of DVDs and we lend them around to each other. That's about the extent of, because we're not real film watchers, because we can't sit still long enough.
Okay.
Sorry, I just realized after I interrupted that you were in the middle of asking everyone around. I apologize. But I wanted to say, James, you're right. And that is a very good point that, I forget who was writing about this recently, but someone was talking about that it used to be a model of scarcity. You know, VHS tapes were a complex mechanical thing that cost money to make. Vinyl records cost money to make and cost money to ship and to store and to handle fragilely and everything. But bits are free, and essentially. And one of the problems that these companies have in migrating from physical media that can be shared amongst friends and family, which is how a lot of people get their music and movies, at least exposed to them the first time, it's a loner. And when they're trying to move to a rights protected model where everyone is then buying his or her own copy, they're still keeping the prices at like $10 to $20, which is absurd. So just a thought on that yes, sharing of media like that, handing someone a book, handing someone a DVD is still a very common way that people share media. And it may be a roadblock to getting everyone to go into the streaming only stuff and the rights protected bits.
Good point.
Steve?
I was going to say, I was given a DVD recently. I didn't know what to do with it. I was to plug the DVD machine back in. It's been unplugged for about 2 years now. But just in terms of sharing media, Spotify has been released recently over in the US. How's that gone for you? Sorry?
You don't fancy doing the survey I asked you about. How do you watch your media?
How do I watch it?
Yeah.
Apple TV, download. We rent it.
You just rent and buy.
Sometimes try Virgin On Demand as well, but I find that the Apple stuff is a bit more reliable.
Sarah?
Purchase DVDs.
So you see a film you like and you buy it when it comes out on release?
Yeah, like James, I don't tend to watch a lot of films, but the ones I like, I wait till they come out on DVD, and then I know I've got a copy. Because even if I'm going to end up putting them, ripping them, at least then I know I've got a physical copy.
Yeah, and Eric?
rental of Blu-ray discs whenever possible. So whether it's from Netflix, Redbox, or Blockbuster.
But you're still Blu-ray taking hard.
And other than that, I have Netflix streaming, and I do use that a lot too.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Very interesting.
And you, Ewan?
Well, we're real film files. We love film, and we've got a Blockbuster that's just up the street, and we go up to Blockbuster and rent.
Keep it in business.
No, it's quite popular actually. There's about a mile and a half from here. There's a quite a low income estate, and they use it a hell of a lot. I also have got all of the movies that I bought a lot of DVDs over the years, and every single one of them's ripped to the server. I've got 470 movies sat on an always on server that links to the three Apple TVs are in the house. So, and Steve has seen that, and it streams pretty good, doesn't it?
It's really impressive. Yeah, really nice.
Yeah, I saw it a couple of weeks ago, and I was very impressed, Ewan.
It still goes. It's nice. And we rent the odd one from Apple TV, but not much, because the problem that you've got is sometimes when it comes down, you know, you're paying for an HD movie, and the total file size when it comes down is 1.6 gig, and you're like, well, hang on a second. When I do a standard DVD at 480, it comes out at 4.3, so there's some magic compression going on there. And then lo and behold, when you play it, it blocks like crazy when it gets to dark scenes and that kind of stuff, and I just feel a bit cheated, to be honest, at times.
Yeah.
And you can't tell me that it's anything to do with my bandwidth connection, which is what they probably blame it on, because I'm getting plenty of bandwidth. Thank you very much. Right.
You just mentioned Blockbuster. I think they're in trouble, aren't they, financially? So you might be supporting the whole company with your...
Well, they've gone bust.
I think they filed for bankruptcy.
They've gone bust in the States, and they've gone for... Yeah. They filed for bankruptcy protection. Now, they've been bought in the States for $200 million, I think. But they've got a debt of $1.9 billion. That goes along with that, so it's kind of like penny for a pound. What was the point that you were going to make, Steve, before I finish off my survey?
I'm sorry, just Spotify's comes out in the last week or so in the US, I believe.
Yeah, and
how is that going for you, Eric? Is that taken to popularity?
You know, I really haven't had time to try it out. I when it first came out, just to get into it on the first day, instead of having to wait for an invitation, I bought whatever the premium thing is that gives you the 320 kilobit MP3s and the radio service. And I took a look at it before the show 2 weeks ago, and I just haven't had time to, or last week rather, haven't had time to get into it. My take on it initially was that it was a little bit confusing and hard to figure out how to just browse for stuff, and not quite as easy to get a radio play going as, say, Pandora.
Well, we don't get to, we can't compare it to Pandora, unfortunately.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I think it's a brilliant service in terms of the amount of depth, the amount of stuff that it has on there, but the UI issues are a little bit complicated for my little mind.
Are you rendering video at the same time as talking to us or something, Steve? Because your fan is going like Billy-O.
It is going like Billy-O.
Going like what?
Like Billy-O.
Lion-O.
Like Lion-O, Billy-O? Yeah.
Like Billy-O.
What is that?
Going like Billy-O. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't got a clue. It just means going like crazy.
I've never heard that word.
Going like Billy-O. There we go.
Billy, it's the word name Billy dash O, just not Billy-O.
Oh, yeah, like there's a real definitive Oxford spelling of it.
There is. Did you never read, I don't know, Bobby Brewster or someone like that? I don't know who it was. Jennings. And Molesworth.
One of the... hang on, let me just paste this in the chat room, and then you will be able to see it. There we go. One of the things that's also happened this week is Asda, which is a supermarket store over here, a supermarket chain, has come out with an 8-inch tablet for £99. It's called the Asda Arnova tablet. And Tone, you looked into this, and you said that it was actually made by Archos, didn't you?
Really?
I think he said Archos, but it's a 4 gig tablet, and it's got a 32 gig SD card slot that you can micro SD card slot that you can use. 4:3 ratio on screen, 800x600, and it's £100. I mean, it's not a lot here. Now, Walmart are the people that own Asda in the UK, Eric. So this kind of works for you as well. Do Walmart have their own brand tab in the States?
It was rumored a while ago. I'm wondering what happened to that. I think it was going to be made by, not their own brand, but I think it was going to be made by Vizio, and they're a company that's very closely tied to Walmart.
I've got a theory on this, on why it could do really well, because in the tube, you don't see many people with iPads now, because there were a few people, but when you see them, they look nervous and looking around because somebody might acquire it off them. But if you look at what they're doing, they're playing Angry Birds. So if it can play Angry Birds and go for it, I think it's got a big market of people who don't want something that's super kind of glamorous for someone to nick, and it definitely did the job.
Seven or eight inch tablets are a little bit more sort of discreet as well. But also, I mean, they don't look so stupid when you get a Skype call on it.
True. It doesn't say whether this thing's got a camera or not. I'm guessing from the picture that's on there, it doesn't on the story, but there's nothing listed in the specs either. Would you say
certainly
that...
Certainly not a front-facing one.
No, it doesn't look like it. Eric, would you say that Walmart is more towards the budget end of supermarket shopping there, or is it as low as Target, or is it higher than Target in terms of...
No, it's lower than Target.
Lower than Target. Oh, that's going some. I didn't think there was lower than Target.
Oh, yeah. No, it, over here, Target is considered like the Walmart Plus.
Right. Okay. So this kind of thing could well be coming.
So Target is for those selective bargain hunters. So Walmart is the absolute bottom baseline.
Well, based on the fact that Asus is tied to Walmart, then I could be giving you the scoop here, mate, because this could be the Walmart tablet that's due out.
Could
be. The one that they intend to sell.
I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out as a different brand name. It might be made by one of those, what do they call it? White label companies that, you know, they make it and then people can slap whatever brand name they want onto it. Because I don't believe we have anything Asda over here.
No, you won't have Asda. They were purchased.
Do you have Vizio?
Yeah, we got Vizio. The Vizio Tab is allegedly, I think, wasn't it slated this week for launch in September? I got that in my head, but I'm not certain.
What I like about this, what amuses me about this tablet is that it's got the single, I don't know what Apple would think about it, but it's got that button at the bottom that looks like the Apple home key. But of course, a standard Android requires three buttons. You've got the home button, the menu button, and the back button. And what they've done is they put the menu and the back button as part of the drop down on the top right hand side. And I think that's quite a common feature for Android tablets. And I think it's quite a useful little function, because at least you know you've still got it, but you don't have too many buttons cluttering out up the front of the bezel, which is quite clever.
I mean, are you going to get...
It looks like an iPad.
Are you going to get anyone that's serious about owning a pad buying this thing, or are you talking about this becoming kind of like a kind of higher end Christmas present for the kids to play on?
For that price, it's going to be something, a little gadget gizmo that you give someone to put a shopping list on, to use as an e-reader. I mean, it's cheaper than a Kindle. I mean, it's brighter, but you know, it does, and it probably does quite a lot of stuff.
The one statement that they've made on here, which I think you've got to take with a little bit of a pinch of salt, is that their tech guys are saying that Asda are boasting that this underlies their desire to become the UK's tablet world. So it could be the first of many that could be coming along with it. There could be iPads for sale in Asda or not, and there could be other Samsung, etc., other tablets coming along as well. We shall see.
On over 8.
I think there's certainly room for low-end tablets. I said early on, when they first had the iPad at starting at $500, I think that's not going to last forever. You know, right now people are having trouble, your HPs, your RIMs, they're having trouble getting a tablet that competes with the iPad to be even $500. Your Motorola Zoom, they're all, you know, they're primarily more expensive. But I think once this stuff kind of stabilizes and the lower, you know, and capacitive touch screens become cheaper and these components become cheaper, I think we'll continue to see products that have the performance of today's iPad continue to be sold for cheaper and cheaper prices into the future. And I think people will really adopt tablets once they become cheap enough that you can buy one just to browse the web, just to have as an extra screen, just for your Twitter in your lap, just for, you know, email and basic things like that. Angry Birds.
Or Sky Go.
Yeah.
Or Sky Go.
As a TV.
Or Sky Go. I was going to say, it's got an 800-600 screen. Most of the 7-inch tablets have only got 480. Screen. So actually, that's
not bad resolution, is it? No, yeah. Not bad at all. Sarah and Carl in the chat room have pointed out that Lidl have a movies download service. Have you ever heard of Lidl, Eric.
No.
They're a German firm over here. There's a Lidl and Aldi, and everyone looks at them as, because basically they don't open the boxes. Everything comes in bulk, and then the pallet gets stuck in there, and you rip it open and take what you want yourself. You know, nothing's priced. It's bargain basement prices. But the one thing that I found out from someone who lived in Italy and came over here is that there's a lot of the brands that are in Lidl and Aldi are actually very high quality bands in Italy.
Absolutely, ship them over.
And Spain as well.
Yeah, and if you go and talk, Germany. Yeah, if you go and talk to the Germans, they'll tell you that the Lidl family and the Aldi family are extremely good employers and good paying employers as well as. So quite how they manage it, I'm not sure. But Lidlmovies.co.uk is a place you can go and buy and rent movies.
They just come in a little cardboard box.
I thought that Lidl and Aldi were two brothers that fell out, and they both set up and had the same idea. And if
that could be well true. Someone can Google that while we're doing the cool thingies.
What I didn't realise is that Matalan wasn't set up by a bloke called Matt and a bloke called Alan.
No,
it wasn't. It's a shame.
Have they got a Wikipedia page?
It keeps getting changed now.
Have we got any cool thingies?
I do.
James, start
this
us off,
remarkable.
Dear boy.
This is quite remarkable. A mate of mine at work, Rob, was showing this off. He attaches it to his jacket on his cycle home. Let me just put it into the chat room. For $10.99, you can buy a pocket helmet camcorder. And it runs at 480p, and basically it's got 4 gig of memory, and you can just record stuff on it, and it's just £11 for a little camcorder.
It's in eBay,
but it's still, I mean, he bought it. It's one of these things, gets shipped from China, you pay very little for it, but the video quality's not bad at all.
Is it a key ring size thing, James?
It's around about the length of a finger, and so you just clip it onto it. I mean, he when he's playing football, he clips it onto the goalpost. So you can sort of watch the game back afterwards.
Yeah, because I've got a key ring, key fob video camera.
And how much does it record? How long?
You can put 8 gig of micro SD in it.
And which will give you how long in playback?
The battery will probably go first. That's 2 hours.
Oh. It's not rechargeable then?
It is. I think it's a rechargeable battery, but
I'm asking a bit much here for £10.99 on a 15.
So it's ridiculous, but £11 for a little video camera.
$15. Very, very good. It looks great.
And so if you want to do something terrifying, you can go home and play it back to yourself, which if you're into that sort of thing.
Connectivity USB, and it's bundled with fixing brackets, no less.
Wow.
Very, very good. Excellent pick. We like cheap and crappy.
I do.
Steve, have you got a cool thing for us, or are you frantically looking for something? Do you want me to come back to you?
Could you tell? Could you?
The wild eyes say it all, mate.
Can I ask a quick question?
Go on.
A little bit of advice. I've got a cool thing. I downloaded a Flickr app last night for the iPad, which is very nice. Flickr Gallery. That was 69p or something like that, which just shows all the photos on a nice stream, which is nice. But are people joining Flickr and going straight onto the Pro, or do people stay on Flickr and not become Pro? Because my Flickr stream has become big enough now where it's telling me to go Pro. And is that something I have to do?
My wife gave it to me as a birthday present.
Okay.
It's £25, you cheapskate bastard.
What? Is that 25 quid a year or 25 quid?
A year. 25 quid a year. Yeah, I mean,
I don't think that's... No, don't be... I think that's a little bit harsh, Ewan, because yes, it's a service, but, I mean, I've got a gallery on my website. It's just the participation in the social... So the social gathering of Flickr, which is this showcase, really.
Well, I mean,
and my photos are crap.
No, the Bagel Tech photo stream is flickr.com/groups/BagelTechPhoto is the group thing. But the account that I set up so that I could make the group, I've never turned into a pro account because I don't upload enough. You get 300 megabytes a month and that's it. And the total storage, if you don't want to do the total storage thing and you're nearing your limit, if you don't pay... All that happens is, you know, as you add two photos, drop off the end, and that's it. But I mean, I've done the one for the rugby club so that we can put, you know, I probably post the best part of 30 or 40 pictures a week from each rugby match. So at decent resolution, I eat up the 300 megabytes fairly quickly. And it's £25 for the year. I mean, but you know, you get, and with that, you get statistics as well, so you can see who's coming, how often, number of unique visitors, and all that kind of thing too.
A comment in the chat room is that Yahoo owns Flickr, so watch yourself.
Yes, yeah. They do.
But are you saying that Yahoo is going to disappear next year?
Carl suggests that might happen.
Carol Bartz is looking to close Yahoo. That's probably one of the worst tenures as chief executive ever, if that's the case. Eric, have you got any knowledge on that?
About Yahoo?
Yeah.
Or Yahoo? No.
No. Surely, though, Flickr's successful enough, even if they were going to do that, they'd actually sell Flickr, wouldn't they?
I would have thought so.
Maybe so.
Mm. We shall see.
There's my
garage. Right, get back to looking, mate. Sarah, have you got a pick for us?
Yeah, I have. A little bit of an unusual one. You may remember a few weeks ago, I actually recommended Firefox Sync. Now, I'd really like Firefox Sync, but because of I'm having so many issues with Firefox, I've actually completely stopped using Firefox.
You sound like Will Green. Will Green recommends something one week and then can't get it out of his system the following week.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with Firefox Sync as such. It was really good. It is really good. But Firefox as a browser absolutely sucks. I've just had enough of it. So I've stopped using it completely and I've just gone exclusively to using Chrome. And obviously, I've started using Google Sync, and even with, you know, in the browser, it is fantastic. It's as good, if not better, than Firefox Sync.
So what's it actually syncing?
It can sync passwords, bookmarks. Links, bookmarks. There's a stack load of things, and you can switch them on and off, whichever ones you actually want to sync.
Now, that's excellent, because Xmarx is a bag of crap on Chrome.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I signed up to it thinking, oh, I'll give it a go because I wanted to use something if I wasn't going to use Firefox, because I was getting into using it Firefox Sync quite a bit for links and also remembering passwords. But I don't use it for passwords because there's a little bit of me that won't trust it. But for links, it's absolutely brilliant.
Comment in the chat room. Chrome Sync is lovely. Extensions as well get synced.
Yes. Which is good. Yeah, I've just found a good extension for Google Plus for Chrome as well, which I'm going to start playing with.
There's a couple of comments that I'm reading on Twitter here about Apple and Safari not being compatible with Lion.
Safari.
Lion. What the hell's going on there?
Oh dear, the fun we're going to have tomorrow.
I wish I could be there.
I tell you what,
you go on Safari and you can't find a lion.
I think it's going to be my favourite ever Mac show tomorrow.
Eric, have you got a cool thing for us? No, of course
my cool thing is macOS 10 Lion.
Have you put it on your machine yet?
On both.
And? Straight away. Did you not have any issues with the audio drivers or hardware stuff?
No. Well, I hate to say it, but I wouldn't have found out until 5 minutes before this show. But no, it worked fine.
Okay. Well, that's good. Good. And one of the things that was in the uproar, and I started it, unfortunately, was that Logic 8 is not going to work in Lion, which is
never
shocking.
Is it?
Yeah, no, that's true. There you go, mate. I know you... Had you switched off as well? Have you got a cool thing for us? If you haven't, Steve, don't worry. Don't BS your way out of it.
But it's specific to the F1. Anyone watches Formula 1 on a Sunday, put it on the telly, put your computer on and put the F1 timing screen on the laptop. It's really good. Adds to the whole atmosphere.
It's almost like 3D, isn't it? You could have the timing thing just in front of the telly.
Yeah.
It's like being there except with a dryer.
have you got the full version, the £20 thing, or do you buy the free version?
I did the free last year, and the website, and this year got the £20 iPhone.
Ooh, app. I want some of that.
I think the free one's a good really barometer good. Of who's pissed off about why Vettel's leading and all that kind of stuff. Because if you buy the free, if you get the free one, you have to buy the coverage for each of the Grand Prix. And if Vettel's on pole position, I bet you the number of people that buy that Grand Prix just goes nosedive. There we go.
Vettel is quite nice.
He's a lovely guy. Lovely guy. Very fast, apparently, as well, after last week's Top Gear.
Top Gear, yeah.
My pick has got to be Sky Go. I'm so sorry for being obvious, but, I mean, you've seen it. It is stunning. And I am going to have it sat here tomorrow with the cricket on, with the sound down, while we're doing all the shows. I'm so excited. Eric's going, what's cricket?
I'm going, what's Sky?
Anyone want to explain it to him?
It's not like baseball, except slower.
What is that? Someone has some.
I'm still trying to figure out Billy-O.
Billy-O. You need to. Rules of cricket, there's a tea towel that you can buy. Do you know what a tea towel is?
Brilliant, isn't it? That one, yeah.
You know what a tea towel is? You know, a dish towel.
It's so patronising.
No, he's shaking his head. Don't you laugh at me, mate. He's not.
They don't dry dishes in America.
No, they've got dishwashers. Have you ever washed dishes in a sink, Eric?
Yes.
What's a sink? Right, if you ever watch, so what do you, the towel that you dry them with is a tea towel.
Oh.
That's what we call it.
What do you call it?
A towel.
Okay. Well, as is far more sophisticated and specific, obviously, then. The classification's higher. So there's a tea towel, and it's got the rules of cricket on it, and Sarah knows what I'm talking about. So, Sarah, would you mind having a look while I do UK2, and then you can send the link to Eric? And that'll confuse him terminally.
Yeah, but it's designed deliberately to confuse as much as possible.
He'll love
it.
He'll love it.
All right, I'll see if I can find it.
Right. While we do that, I've got to talk about UK2.net, because I say it every week. They're fantastic to us. They love us. We love them. It's a real big loving, and it's super duper gorgeous. UK2 pick up all the bandwidth for the Bagel Tech Network. Absolutely every single show goes through them. They pay for all our domain names, renewals, and all that kind of stuff. And they look after us. And I hope we look after them. And we've had a call with them last week that where we said, you know, are we keeping our end of the deal up? And everyone said, yeah, you definitely are. They're getting a lot of business from supporting Bagel Tech, and you're the people that are giving that business. So big, big thank you. By keeping UK2 going and by supporting them, you are supporting Bagel Tech on the way, and they will look after you, hopefully, as well as if they know you're a Bagel Tech listener. Go to the Bagel Tech News site, so that's bageltechnews.com. Scroll down to the bottom and you'll see the UK2 logo in the bottom left hand corner. Click on that and that'll track you through to their website, so they'll know you've come from Bagel Tech, and wherever you go in their website, they'll know that you came from Bagel Tech, and whatever you buy, they'll know that you bought because you're at Bagel Tech. Best bit of all, when you get to the checkout, put in the offer code Bagel Tech and you will get 15% off whatever your checkout is showing. Simple as that. Still lots of people. I got an email from Craig this week, and there's still quite a few people who are coming from the site and not putting in the offer code. So please, please, please make sure you get the offer code, because that's where your benefit comes from supporting UK2. James, you transferred your website this week, didn't you?
I did, but I didn't use the offer code because I'm a spanner.
Muppet, you were the man that they were talking about.
I know, I need my wrist slapped, don't I? Now you're going to have to explain it to stupid people like me. Where do you find the offer code? Because I clicked the link. Well, what happened was, every time I logged in, I clicked the link on the Bagel Tech site.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was using the link that it was an affiliate code. But you have to type in something on payment, do you?
No, yes. When you buy something,
voucher code.
Yeah, when you go to checkout, there's a coupon code where it says coupon or offer or something like that on it, I think. I think it says coupon. And you type in Bagel Tech, all one word. And
type in Bagel Tech, do that.
All one word, and you will get 15%. So when you then do the update your cart, then what you'll get is 15% off whatever the total is.
I'm going to write that down on my hand.
Yes. And also, there was an unexpected charge that James got this week. If you get an unexpected charge, just give me a tinkle. Send me a tweet or something like that. I'll explain tinkle in a minute, Eric. And and I'll tell you how to sort it out. Don't worry about it, but just I can't say any more than that, but call me if you get an unexpected charge. There we go. UK2.net. We would be toast without them. We cannot survive without them. Please, please, please continue to support them. And thank you, thank you, thank you for supporting them so much as you have already, because it really does make a difference. People maybe think I'm being insincere when I say that, but I'm really not. You know, I love doing this. I'm going to get up tomorrow about 11 o'clock. I'm going to get really excited about doing the Max show and the photo show in the afternoon. And I don't want to stop doing that. And I'm being selfish. Go to UK2 so I don't have to stop doing the shows. Where can we get a hold of you, James?
On Twitter, I'm SYZYGY. And today I got a new fan. A new fan, a new follower. Apple Crazy on YouTube started following me. So yes, follow me on Twitter, SYZYGY. You can hear all about my journeys to work, which are always eventful.
There's a comment in the chat room. Bagel Tech needs a Wikipedia page. If someone wants to start it, please go ahead and start it. I'll give you any information you want. But I'm not
right fallacies about Ewan.
I'm not going to put. I'm not going to do the uncool thing of starting my own Wikipedia page. I just couldn't do it. Not at all. Steve, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
Clough at HQ, based in London, part of the London Mac user group. Come down and see us.
Yeah, meetings on second Monday.
Oh, we're going to do a big one for the September keynote. It'll probably happen.
I'm coming too.
It'd be great if you want to come down again for that. That'd be brilliant.
Definitely coming down. We'll do another round table afterwards.
Excellent.
That'd
be great.
I'll start another.
I think we're going to an official visit to a beer festival in a few weeks' time as well, if anyone's interested.
No, you'd stop that. That's no good. Sarah, where can we get you, mate?
You can get hold of me on my website at sarahjaneuk.com or on Twitter at sarahjaneuk. And I've posted a link in the chat room to that cricket tea towel.
Yes, we shall rib Eric about that in a moment, definitely. And Eric, where can we get you, mate?
That would be ericlanigan.com and twitter.com/ericlanigan, ericlanigan.
Excellent. And host of Tech Talk back on a Thursday at sort of 6:30, I think it is, UK time-ish, 9 o'clock.
Well, I don't know when it's going to be now, because today was the last episode in the cottage. There's going to be a transition time where they don't have everything set up yet, so I probably won't do one next week. And then it may become a night show. I don't know.
We're kind of
waiting to hear.
Can't you run it from your own location?
I have the capability, yes.
Good. We have the technology. We can rebuild it. We'll leave Eric to ponder the rules of cricket as he now sees them on the tea towel, and he's going to have questions at the end of that, most definitely. We'll be back again tomorrow with the Mac Show at 1 o'clock and the Photo Show at 3 o'clock. And you can follow the Daily Show every day next week. Monday, Wednesday and Friday is every day, not Tuesday and Thursday, so I lied. And we're doing all right. We've got a nice... We got the Daily Show got into the top 30 episodes for tech this week in the podcast. So thank you very much for everyone that downloaded. Have a good weekend. Thanks for listening.